Thank you, Joe. Hey, do you have your Bible with you this morning? Can I see your Bible this morning? Look at those Bibles. Would you hold that up there for just a second? Let's hold this up before the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we ask through these few minutes ahead that you would just speak to us through your word, by your spirit, that you would have for each of us something that will draw us near to you, and that will just send us from this place fired up for you. Lord, lead us as we look into your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as most of you know, we've been thinking about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I've really enjoyed the different concepts and biblical perspectives that we've been looking at and finding, but I must say that this week it's been a little bit difficult because the Lord is showing me some things here that where my thinking needs to be adjusted so that my life will be changed even a little more. And this for me has been an unusually difficult preparation, and I hope it is for you too. No. I hope it ministers to your heart. Let me ask a question. I want you to think about what would be your first response, your normal default first response when you come up against somebody or you meet somebody or you see somebody who is in need. Your first thought when you're confronted with a person or multiple persons, which would be people, who are in difficult circumstances. What is your first reaction when you come up to somebody who is in trouble, somebody who has a need, somebody who is hurting in one way or another? What's your first response? How do you respond to someone who doesn't have adequate food or clothes or shelter? One common example that we've all seen and heard about is when you're driving in town and you're headed in Route 22 and you come into the intersection of Congress Street and St. John Street, and there's a man standing there. And this man has a sign that says, "I am hungry. Please help. God bless you." Now, be honest with yourself and before the Lord. What is your gut response? What is your first reaction when you see that? I know mine. And I know sometimes it's not right. How do you respond when you see that person that has a need? Is your first thought more about judgment or more about the reality that there is a need here? Do you find yourself examining and questioning the validity of the request for help? What if this person is someone who comes to a soup kitchen or to a food pantry, our food pantry? What is your response? What do you think? What do you feel about that? What are your emotions? What do you think when you meet somebody who is needy? And there are many ways to be needy. Is your first thought to wonder, how is it that this person came to be in this situation? Is your first thought about, well, what did this person do that was wrong? How many bad choices or what failure did they go through in order to get to a place where they need help? What about people who are homeless? When you come upon them, when you meet them, when you see them, is your first thoughts, boy, they must have really messed their lives up in order to be homeless. I wonder how many bad things they did to get homeless. What about someone who just never seems to have enough money to pay their bills and always seems to be in need of help? What is your response? What are your first thoughts? Should being a Christian, should being a follower of Jesus Christ have any impact on how I think about and how I relate to people who have need? Does the fact that you are a follower of Jesus Christ make any difference in the way you deal with people with needs around you? A disciple is compassionate. We certainly get to use all of the wisdom and all of the discernment that we can find to assess the real needs in a given situation. Someone who has a handout, the presentation may not be the greatest need. So we get to use wisdom, discernment, understanding in how we respond to people who have needs. But our first thoughts, our heart reaction, should be more about justice than judgment. Our first thought should be more about what is the right thing to do? What is the right thing to say in this situation? It should be more about how would God want me to respond to this handout or this help request or this need? I think one way of looking at it would be a brief example of someone that I proposed this question to said, well, my first response is to help. My first response, whenever I come up against somebody who has a need, is I just want to help. I want to be helpful. And I pressed that a little bit more because my thinking wasn't exactly in line with that thinking. I pressed that a little more and I said, you mean your default reaction, your heart's reaction, your first reaction when every time you meet somebody that is a needy is to do something about it, to help, to just give or do. Yep, every time. And maybe I went a little bit too far, but the next thing I said was, well, how's that working in your own home? See, if it's not working at home, it's probably not really working out there. Our default should be a desire to help. Our default shouldn't be, well, boy, that person, they're really a mess. They got little. Blah, blah, blah. No. Because a follower of Jesus Christ is going to be like Jesus Christ, who had compassion on people. Our first response shouldn't be to be repulsed because there is a need, and this person is needy because they're bad. It's not necessarily because they're bad that they're in need. We're all bad. We're all bad. That wasn't a question. We all need help. the follower of Jesus Christ is compassionate. Our first thought should be, this person needs God's help. This person could be my brother. This person could be me. A disciple is compassionate. We need to define compassionate. One writer says, compassion. Love that won't let you not do something. Love that won't let you turn away. Love that won't let you close your eyes. Love that won't let you grumble in your heart. Love that won't let you say, no way. Compassion, empathy, charity, clemency, grace, mercy, benevolence, kind-hearted, sympathetic, piteous. Our first response should not be, this person is in need because they're a terrible person. This person is created in the image of God. This person is an opportunity for us to share what we've received from God with another person. Well, I think the first slide will show you our outline. God is compassionate. Jesus incarnated compassion. Paul instructed compassion. We imitate compassion. See, I got those four I's working there, right? So you can remember that. God is compassionate. Jesus incarnated. That means when Jesus came into the world as a human being, he put flesh onto compassion. Paul instructed compassion, and we imitate compassion. So let's look first that God is compassionate. I'm in Judges chapter 2, way back in the Old Testament of those Bibles that you held up a couple minutes ago. After you get through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you have Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So it's Joshua, Judges, chapter 2. You'll remember that after Moses had died, he had led God's people through the wilderness 40 years, and because of his own sinful choices, he was unable to enter the promised land. When Moses died, God appointed Joshua to lead the people in, and under the direction of God, Joshua led the people to the conquest of the promised land. And by the time you get into Judges, it's the end of Joshua's life. In chapter 2 and verse 6, after Joshua had dismissed the Israelites, they went to take possession of the land, each to his own inheritance. So the people went in and they kind of drifted away from God and they didn't follow the ways of God. But let's pick it up in verse 16. 2:16, then the Lord raised up judges who saved them out of the hands of these raiders. Because they had drifted away from God, raiders came in and gave them a lot of trouble. Verse 17, yet they would not listen to their judges, but prostituted themselves to other gods and worshiped them. Unlike their fathers, they quickly turned from the way in which their fathers had walked, the way of obedience to the Lord's commands. Verse 18, whenever the Lord raised up a judge for them, he was with the judge and saved them out of the hands of their enemies as long as the judge lived. For the Lord had compassion on them as they groaned under those who oppressed and afflicted them. So there's this cycle of judges coming in and just giving them the word of God. And God, is being a compassionate God, had compassion on his people. I mean, from the beginning of time, God's demonstrating his compassion, his love, his care for people. From his dealings with Adam and Eve to his dealings with all of Israel wandering in the wilderness, and even here in this situation. God is a compassionate God. As we come along a little ways to 2 Kings chapter 13, another 50 or 60 pages there, 80 pages or so. 2 Kings chapter 13. Another snapshot, verse 23, 2 Kings 13, begin in the verse 22. Hazael, king of Aram, oppressed Israel throughout the reign of Jehoahaz, but the Lord was gracious to them and had compassion and showed concern for them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. To this day, he has been unwilling to destroy them or banish them from his presence. So here is a long-term demonstration of God's compassion. God has no desire to snuff out his people or punish them. He is a compassionate God showing mercy and grace upon his people. Come along a few more pages, another 50 or 80 pages to Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, just before Esther, Nehemiah chapter 9. After Nehemiah has been granted permission to go in and rebuild the wall, the process has been completed, and the Israelites come together and confess their sins all the way down through chapter 9 of Nehemiah. And in verse 16, we begin again. But they, our forefathers, became arrogant and stiff-necked and did not obey commands. They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to their slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore you did not desert them, even when they cast themselves for themselves an image of a calf and said, "This is our God who brought you out of Egypt," or when they committed awful blasphemies. See, here's another snapshot. God is compassionate even when his children disobey. Look at verse 26 of the same chapter. But they were dishonest and rebelled against you. They put your law behind their backs. They killed your prophets who had admonished them in order to turn them back to you. They committed unlawful blasphemies. So you handed them over to their enemies. You oppressed them. But when they were oppressed, they cried out to you. From heaven you heard, and from your great compassion, you gave them deliverance. Deliverers who rescued them from the hand of their enemies. Now verse 28, but as soon as they were at rest, they again did what was evil in your sight. Then you abandoned them to the hand of their enemies so that they ruled over them. And when they cried out to you again, you heard from heaven, and in your compassion, you delivered them time after time. Just a wonderful picture of God's compassion. In the Psalms, Psalm 51, the Psalm of David, in his confession of his sin, he says, "Have mercy," Psalm 51, verse 1. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wipe my sin away because you are a compassionate God." Psalm 116 and verse 5, "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion." I'm still thinking about that man standing on the corner of St. John's and Congress Street with a sign that says, "I am hungry. Please help. God bless you." And how many times I've driven by him even not even looking at him, going right by the other way. Hey, I know how it works. I'll make a confession. Years ago, I sat in a bank parking lot, and there was one of these men at a different corner. And he had his hand out, and he had his sign there, and he had his knapsack there. And I sat there for 10 minutes, and I counted how many cars stopped. And I figured, okay, well, just $1 for each time somebody reached out to him. And I added them up, and I multiplied, and I divided, and I calculated. He's making more money than I am. There was no compassion there. None. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. Well, not only God is compassionate, but Jesus incarnated compassion. Just a few passages, and all in the book of Matthew. So if you turn your Bible to the New Testament, you'll come up to Matthew. We'll start with chapter 9. Matthew 9, beginning at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." When you see people with their hand out, when you see people who are needy, when you see people who don't have food and clothes and shelter, when you see needs, do you think about the harvest field, or do you think about all the wrong stuff they must have done to get where they are? Turn over a few more pages to Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 14, just a couple of verses, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, and what had happened was they had killed John the Baptist, and then they had come and told Jesus about it. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. You see, compassion is more than pity. We can all watch television and pity people in a faraway land who are starving to death. Compassion includes enough inner caring to do something about it. We can all drive by some guy with a sign and say, boy, he's got it hard. But compassion is a caring enough to do something. It says here, Jesus had compassion and he healed their sick. Over and over again in the New Testament, on the Gospels, talks about Jesus' response to people. When he cared about them, he did something. Matthew chapter 15. In 14, there was the feeding of the 4,000, now the 5,000, and now we see in chapter 15 the feeding of the 4,000. Verse 32. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. I have compassion for these people. I care about these people, and I care about them enough to do something." One more in Matthew chapter 20. Verse Matthew chapter 20. Beginning in verse 29, there is the account of these two blind men. They saw Jesus coming and they hollered out to him, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us," in verse 31. In verse 32, Jesus stopped and called them, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. See, I guess we've made the point. You know, God is a compassionate God. Jesus put flesh on compassion. As we go through the rest of the New Testament, just a couple of verses here, three or four verses from Paul. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, if you have these four ifs here in verse 1, there's four ifs of certainty. Or could be translated, because. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, if you do, well, you do have encouragement from being united with Christ, you do have comfort from his love, you do have fellowship with the Spirit, and you do have tenderness and compassion if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Then he says, make my joy complete by being like-minded. All of you being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. The purpose statement for our food pantry says, we help meet people's physical needs so that we might have an opportunity to meet their spiritual need. It's not just about giving away food. Yes, people have needs. We, as Christians, we need to be willing to meet those needs, and it gives us an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with people. Just a few pages over from Philippians, you have Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. It's like, put on compassion. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Look for opportunities. Be willing. It's just a matter of how tightly do we hold on to what God has put in our hands? What do we have that we weren't given? Zero. It's all his. And how tightly are we going to hold on to it? The wind's blowing so hard up here, I've lost two or three pages, and I love it. There's a nice breeze there. I really like that. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. The Christian life must be a changed life. Put off the old, put on the new. Be renewed in the attitude of your mind. Goes down through there in verse 25, 26, 27, 28, 29. Put off this and put on that. It's all the way down through the end of the passage, verse 32. Just kind of sums it all up. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You know, be nice. Care about other people. Care about other people. And then one more verse. Well, maybe a couple more. One more verse on this section. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, Peter has just got done giving some instructions on how to imitate Jesus Christ in submission. Wives, how to live as a wife. Husbands, be considerate as you live with your wives in an understanding way. Verse 8, he says, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. So you get the point. Paul instructs teaches, admonishes, exhorts us to be compassionate as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, then, finally, we imitate compassion. See, we have a great God who is compassionate God over and over and over throughout the pages of the Old Testament on into the New Testament. God is just dumping compassion on people. And, you know, we shouldn't for a moment forget that we received compassion from him when we became followers of Jesus Christ. Compassion. Love that won't let you not do something. Empathy, charity, mercy, benevolence. One writer poses the question, does the situations that you and I face when we see needy people, does it break my heart enough to do something? Or does it make my heart become cold and hard? Oh, they must have really messed things up to be in need. Just a couple of verses here. Matthew 7:21. We've applied this to just about every area of the Christian life. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls him Lord will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of his Father in heaven. Compassion must have feet, must have hands, must have function out of a heart that cares about people the way God cares about you and me. Philippians 4:9, Paul's antidote to anxiety. Philippians 4:5-9, verse 9, he says, whatever you have heard or received, or whatever you have learned or heard or received from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's saying, my heart was wide open to you. I've lived it. I've preached it. I've just given my all. And now the things that you've seen in me, you know, just read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that passage that talks, where Paul shares about how he cared about these people like a mother hen, you know. What you've seen, put it into practice. It was very interesting. This week I had been thinking and reading and praying and preparing, and Pastor John came across a radio message and shared it with me. The preacher was preaching about this same topic. He just points out these five practical things that we can do to become compassionate people. He says, pray. You know, when you pray, ask God to give you a heart of compassion. Ask God. Then secondly, pause. I think of Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. He's saying, just slow down long enough to see the need. You know, it's okay to be revved up for God, but just, you know, slow down enough to see what the need is. Because they're all around. We all need help. Everyone needs help. And not only pray and pause, but take inventory. What can you do that might be different from what everyone else can do? Some of you can cook. Some of you are great visitors. Some of you can do mechanics. Some of you can do technology. Some of you can do finances. Everyone can do something. Don't keep it to yourself. So pray, pause, take inventory. Be hospitable. That's another soapbox that we love, to be hospitable. It really means entertain strangers. So, you know, if you're just having burgers with your buds, you know, that doesn't count as hospitality. That changed my thinking somewhat. So pray, pause, take inventory, be hospitable, and be intentional. Look for opportunities. Look for needs. We won't go there, but just in 2 Samuel, if you're taking notes, just jot down 2 Samuel chapter 9. Just an Old Testament, very practical picture about David after all the war thing was done and Saul is dead and his sons have died. Jonathan, David's very close friend, has died. And sometime later, David wanted to show compassion. And he said, is there anyone left from Saul's family? Well, yeah, there's this guy named Mephibosheth. He is a son of Jonathan. And David says, well, bring him here. And when he came, he said, Mephibosheth, I'm going to give you all the land that belonged to Saul. And this man was crippled. This man was crippled in both of his feet. And he says, you're going to live in my house. You're going to eat at my table for the rest of your life. And your servants are going to work this land for you. And you're going to benefit from that. And he wanted to show God's compassion. A follower of Jesus Christ is compassionate. Let's pray. Lord, you know all of us full well. I thank you for that. I praise you for your omniscience and your mighty wisdom. And you know our hearts. You know that we've given you our lives. We've given you our hearts. We want to demonstrate our love for you and our faith in the way we live. But Father, we've failed. Father, I've failed to demonstrate you properly before needy people. I thank you that you are a compassionate God and you have a desire to forgive us when we fail. And I thank you for that. But as this radio preacher suggested this week, Lord, I do ask that you give me a heart of compassion and that you would give each of us a heart of compassion, that you have stuff lined up for us this week that we don't have a clue about. I pray that you'd help us to have our eyes open, that we would see needs as opportunities, and that we would see people as being made in the image of God and needing you, needing your love, needing us to be your hands and your feet, and needing us to loosen our grip on what you've put in our hands. Lord, help us to bring glory to your name in this way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.